Welcome to East Meets West, episode 32. Oh, that sounds better, doesn't it? Ouch, check your microphone levels.
No.
Almost as bad as the infamous Twit 57, says Peter.
I think that's exaggeration.
So, actually, this brings up a good point. Which was the worst East Meets West? The Tea Kettle episode? I'm talking audio quality here. The Tea Kettle episode, the famous Possessed episode 13, or East Meets West 31?
I would have to say the Possessed, because really that was intelligible.
You could hear it, except when it was possessed.
Yeah, which was at 70% of the time.
Tea Kettle episode was just low.
Yeah.
It was just bad because it was in a tea kettle.
You know, it's a constant state of evolvement and, you know.
Anyway, we're stealing studio time today, so I hope this makes up a little bit for last week. Comment number two, Springboks definitely disappoint in their loss to the Wallabies, 49-0. The Wallabies overcame a 32-12 defeat at the hands of the All Blacks the week before. The All Blacks look to peak a year too soon in advance of the Rugby World Cup in the fall of 2007. Tom, you need to get Roger to watch a game with you. Jason.
Okay.
I don't subscribe to Setanta. Jason sent me a lot of good links of places to find video, though. So I got to dig. Right. I got to dig up some. But yeah, rugby is a fantastic and fun game to watch. And I think he's right. I think the All Blacks may be doing what they normally do, which is play amazingly in international competition until they get to the World Cup, and then they just can't pull it off. At least that's been the recent history.
They choke.
I don't want to say choke.
That's cool.
Mean.
All right.
Kevin C. says, hi, diddly ho, guys. Once again, another great and insightful podcast. Time for some random thoughts. I noticed that the microphone levels were rather uneven. That is, I was able to hear Roger, but I couldn't barely hear you, Tom. Perhaps it's due to a broken microphone or a sound level program. Just figured I'd let you both know. Thanks. Yeah.
You know, we'll just wear headphones. From that point
that on. Really is the key. In answer to your question as to whether I got stuck on Apple Midtown store elevator, I did not, thankfully. However, I wouldn't have been surprised if I did get stuck, given the fact that the store is always packed with people, particularly tourists. I also noticed one other interesting flaw in the Midtown store, which was actually pointed out by my slightly older half-brother, Jonathan C.
Slightly older half-brother.
If you go down the elevator and you look up at a certain angle where you're able to see through the parts of the semi-transparent circular stairway, you might just see more than the sky or the big white Apple logo.
Are you looking up skirts there?
He says perhaps the underside of a woman's dress.
If you are, then shame on you,
Kevin.
Shit. You know what? Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Kevin blames Apple. He says, it surprises me how Apple could let a thing like that slip away unnoticed.
No, I think they were kind of...
It's a feature, not a...
No, I think it's totally, you know, you got to show some self-control. Use a hidden camera, for God's sake, and then you can do the viewing at your own time.
John says, can't hear Tom, plus iTunes says this is East Meets West 10 again. I think I messed up the IDP tags. It was just a bad week.
Wasn't our media or one of the content tools just kind of being a little screwy that day?
Yes, everything was just being a little screwy that day.
I think it was just...
Content tools, you mean ourmedia.org? Yeah.
Hey, what would you like me to call it?
No, it just made it sound so much more fancy.
Important.
Ep 31, the suck episode.
Aww.
Oh, wait, this is me. I wrote that. Our media didn't mod the ID3 tags, and the levels that were fine in the test turned out crap after 30. That's right, I did. I put in the ID3 tags in the Our Media tool, and then they munged them when they uploaded it.
So
I have to remember to edit the ID3 tags directly in the file instead of counting on the Our Media tool to do it for me.
So the tool was being a tool.
Yes.
Ah.
Udayan says, I thought the audio was okay. Not great, but then it isn't in a studio or anything. I get so angry when this Windows box crashes, even if it's not my fault, I beat myself up about it.
Don't beat yourself.
Oh, if I only had it running at full load. Or if only I hadn't had it running full load so long. Anyway, I understand.
You know, those things happen, and it's a reason why we have that real kind of ambivalent attitude, love-hate relationship between, you know, mankind and his technology.
Man and his tools and the robots that will one day slide us all away.
Yeah, as long as the woman's robots look hot.
And walk down the stairs at the Apple iPod store. Is that what you're...
Under the hood shot or something.
Jason also says, I'm noticing the Google ads on the sidebar always show Chinese weight loss diet ads.
Well, see, I have nothing to do with that, so I would have to point the finger at you, Tom.
Kimchi Bob says, you guys really need to move Roger's mic farther from his mouth.
Oh, what are you saying,
Kimchi?
He's
trying
to blame you. Too close to the mic?
He's the one who said, otherwise what I thought was an interesting podcast is quickly becoming a snoozer.
Oh.
I think it's because he can't hear me.
No, are you saying we're not talking about interesting and
no, only hearing one side of a conversation isn't very interesting. I think that's what he's saying.
All right.
Scruffy says, Udayan, audio was okay if you're listening in a quiet room, but in a noisy car or walking, more like East beats West.
Yes, and I do win with these hands of mine.
And then he says, hey, maybe you guys can hook up with someone from a kind of a tech background to help you get some audio levels. I tried to talk Veronica to come in.
He's being funny, although Veronica would make a nice addition.
Udayan said, Scruffy, you're right. I had in-ear headphones and was just browsing. Incidentally, the MacBook Pro came back from Apple with a new logic board, DC in, and AirPort card. They didn't specify why, but included OS 10.4.6 discs. The machine no longer whines, isn't as scorchingly hot, and hasn't had a single kernel panic. I'm thrilled.
That's cool.
Are you sure it's the same machine? You know, sometimes they just...
Well, you know, if they replaced the innards, technically, aren't you... Didn't they kind of give you a half-new machine?
Yeah, pretty much. They replace as much as he's talking about, yeah. It's a cyborg.
It's a soul of a new machine.
This week's artwork from Udayan, he says, is a mix of EMW27 and EMW31... because work experience kept him from doing a new design. But you know what? We're just thrilled that you do them at all. So
yeah, that's like totally cool.
Kevin C. says, once again, kudos to Udayan on the artwork. Turns out the font used for 32 is my favorite font. Hmm. Also, nice work on the glow as well.
The glow? Wait, wasn't that a reference to the Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon?
Is it? Really?
The glow? You know, it was the element that our young hero was... in search of in order to fully become a master of the generic martial art terminology
as he
tries to defeat Shogun and his evil minions.
I don't know history very well.
Ah, Barry Gordy. Come on, was one of the last greatest forms of blaxploitation.
Yeah.
A cinematography.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. No, I know what you're talking about.
I think maybe that would go I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker. But
that's a fantastic movie.
That is a great movie. Didn't the Wayans write that?
I believe the Wayans were involved, and the Wayans rock.
Yeah. A few of the Wayans rock.
Mostly Wayans rock.
Yeah.
Jonathan C. says, when my brother Kevin mentioned about my You Can See Paris, You Can See France discovery at the Apple Midtown store, I must stress that it was strictly a non-perverted coincidence.
Uh-huh.
No fooling, I was looking up at the giant apple is all.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Looking at the giant apple. Yeah.
Hold on there, Chang. This is a family podcast.
I disagree, as none of my family's actually listened to this yet.
No, mine either. Not even my wife. And she's in the room when we record it half the time. Upon booting into my HP Lappy today, I was disturbed to find the blasted Windows Genuine Advantage you copied and now we must smote you alert. Now, it was bad enough that I'm bothered by the technological equivalent of a nagging telemarketer, but I disabled automatic downloads as well as notifications. Henceforth, the question arises, how come my computer was able to download the WGA nagger? I haven't the foggiest... Well, looking at how it happened, a good old search and dig will help me remove the nag, which shouldn't be a problem. But even so, it's the principle. How to get there?
So he says he has downloads. As long as you don't have, you don't accidentally click Express when you do a Windows update.
Because
if you do that,
it just does everything.
Because the thing is, the Windows Genuine Advantage, I mean, really doesn't offer any security except to Microsoft. But it's included as one of those high priority, you know, you need to download it to patch your system. Download areas where all the others are options.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, they're all options, but the other ones are like under software or hardware. So, you know, some people might accidentally just include it with the latest round of patch up the XP firewall network hole, you know, IE plug.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just keep it when you do the updates, always choose custom.
Well, he did a system restore. He had an image backed up. And
you know
got
what?
Rid of
run
it.
Zone alarm and then have it block.
Yeah,
always keep nagging. I mean, you know, eventually it'll time out, but I think that gives you, 3 months? And then you can restore at that point again.
There you go. Kevin C. with a lot of random thoughts, talking about the heat in New York.
Heat? I wonder, well, see, the thing in New York, it's also humid. Since it was, what was the temperature out in Oakland?
Yesterday, it was peaked at around 90, I think. And the day before, it was 95.
I was in the Central Valley of California, and I'm at lovely Modesto, searching for cars.
The movie, or
no?
Did you find anything?
my sister did, and we'll get to hear back from the
interesting.
It's a Toyota Camry. She's looking at it. And I don't know. The Subaru dealership's over in Turlock. I really don't want to drive.
Didn't look at Chevy.
My dad Ford? Did. My dad looked at Ford. He wants
Chrysler.
He wants a Ford F-150.
They're German now.
Well, you know, it
depends. Your dad wants a Chrysler?
No, he wants a Ford F-150.
Oh,
the pickup truck.
Just because he wants a pickup truck.
Well, he had one
stuff.
Before.
He wants the haul stuff.
He likes it.
They're good trucks, I have to say. Although I prefer a Chevy to a Ford.
Yeah.
Just on principle,
mind you. Because Illinois is just a bastion of GM solidarity.
I had some good Ford friends growing up in Illinois.
Yes, fix once, repair daily.
Anyway, well, you were talking about the heat.
It was 112 on the old thermometer. And you know what? Driving, turn on the air conditioning, and it only brings it down to a nice, cool 86 or something.
Yeah.
You need to drive really fast to dissipate the heat from the, you know, because it condenses out the heat from inside the car. You have to drive fast enough for the air to pass through the grill and blow out the heat from the back.
But I discovered that one of my vents in my car had been turned off, but there was a little dial that could actually close it, and I had closed it.
And that,
so I was like, why am I? It's not getting cool in the car. And then I opened it back up. Dumb.
Was your pad pretty hot? Since I don't know that.
Oh yeah, we have the heat. We have the sun coming directly in, so it was boiling. And there's no air conditioners in the Bay Area. See, that's the thing.
It doesn't get
hot in this area very often. No. So only the large buildings have air conditioners. Most single family homes do not.
And the ones you do tend to be out near the south.
Bay, if you go over the hills into Walnut Creek on that side, or if you go south. Kevin C. says, one last note on the heat issue. Another thing the warm weather usually yields out is bugs. In particular, my most feared of all, the house centipede. Though they are harmless in nature, it's their frightening appearance that can give anyone chills down the spine. That's why I hate house centipedes. I live in a fairly old, and when the weather becomes warm, I tend to see those big things crawl around my bedroom wall at night, some as long as 4 inches.
That's not big. I mean,
I've seen bigger centipedes, but I still don't want to see a 4-inch centipede crawling up
my
wall at night. You
know, especially if it's an older wood home, you really got to fumigate those things because they just nest in all the wood. And it's, he's in New York, right?
Yeah.
New York, especially that section. Out here, I think it's mainly termites and ants that you get.
I don't see bugs so much. I see some flies, house flies. Occasionally had some ants out near the beach when I lived out there. But man, Texas, talk about bugs. Roaches the size of your hand.
Yeah, see, I couldn't deal with that.
But they're not dirty roaches. They're just lawn roaches.
No
different than ants.
I don't know. It's out when they were building out the subdivisions, you'd find all sorts of things. Not just bugs, but you'd find frogs and rabbits and like birds and all sorts of.
Oh, yeah. Nature will take its way back. Yeah. Don't worry. There's coyotes in the middle of cities now.
Yes. They were actually, I think it's due to their increasing population. And, it's kind of weird because people's like, you know, why are these coyotes coming out from the hills? And what they found out, I think, is part of it is resurgence in mountain lion populations.
Ah, driving out the poor little coyotes.
Coyotes that used to, fill the lower niche that the cougars used to do. And since the cougars have been protected and they've been coming back. And plus, you know, encroaching a suburban sprawl out into the wilderness, it just makes it pretty easy. You know, it's kind of funny when you think about the number of creatures that actually live around you that you don't really pay attention. Like, you know, when I was walking to work last month, I actually saw like a hawk, not a crow, but a hawk.
A hawk, yeah.
And San Francisco actually has quite a number of them, but usually don't see them because it's too cold, so they like to stay in the warmer parts. Mm-hmm. But you also have raccoons. Occasionally you'll see deer.
Yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. I see deer up in Marin County all the time.
So, you know, it's,
good eating.
Yeah. Nah, you got to be careful. You got to look at the liver before
venison.
You eat.
Venison.
If the liver's a little spotty, a little gray, you don't want to eat it.
No.
It's sick.
Good point. Uday Ann says he found WGA on his Dell and Gateway desktop, so he downloaded Zone Alarm.
Yeah.
Did the blocking trick that you were talking about. P.S. My MacBook is dirty brown. Looks like it is 5 years old. Apple Store Brent Cross genius Keith Young told me that the inner casing will be replaced with a newer set of parts which aren't as porous. Kat says, please devote some attention to your production. Yeah.
All right. Jeez, why don't you just point it out with a neon sign?
Or a post on a blog.
Or a t-shirt, a large t-shirt, preferably 100% cotton.
Roger Chang, care of. Let's see. artwork for EMW 33. The next episode is already done. And thanks to Kevin C. for the 3D logo.
Ooh.
Can't wait for that one.
Stazzy Snazzy.
That's coming next episode. Little tease forward to East Meets West 33.
Tease forward. Okay.
Udayan says, the house centipede stuff sounds awful. My house has spiders and other nuisances. It is 110 years old or so. I hate creepy crawlies.
The worst ones are black widows. Because they always hide in the areas that are, you can't see it because it was like the shadowy parts. And they're really small, but man, you know, poisonous little.
They'll mess you up, brother. Udayan says, answering a question from Timothy about why Tom's name came first in the logo.
Because he's
phonetically
white.
Tom Merritt and Roger Chang rings better than the other way around. To give it reasoning, perhaps since it's often recorded at Tom's, really it was just a random choice. Roger thinks it's racism.
I don't know. I think it's just a latent form of it.
Udayan also says, London is nastily hot and devoid of wind and moisture, so low 30s Celsius feels much hotter than they are. Oh, well, this is unseasonable. Usually a humid mid-20s is what we experience. Hopefully the globe cools off. Leno made a joke about it on a show saying it was Gore holding the world to ransom. It is really good for his movie, though.
Yes.
By the way, U.S. talk shows are pretty popular here. CNBC and ITV screen Leno, Conan, and Letterman.
I remember Letterman. They actually show Letterman out in Australia too.
Do you watch talk shows?
Yeah, I used to.
Udayan wants to know.
I used to.
God, I used to.
You know what? When I was in college, I watched nothing but talk shows.
I watched Letterman religiously for a long period of time. I used to videotape it. I used to put it on VHS, and then I would watch it every day.
I used to watch it, and I remember the time he switched over from NBC to CBS. That long ago. But I actually stopped watching after he had that heart attack or stroke. What was it? Was it a stroke?
Mm.
And then I just kind of stopped watching.
I occasionally watch The Daily Show.
I like it.
The biggest thing for me is
it's not as interesting as it used to be.
Really? You liked it better under Craig Kilborn?
I don't know. Like, was that the earlier episode? That just seemed to have a lot. It seemed a lot spicier.
Really, I think it's smarter now, though. Craig just kind of kept it rolling more. They're both smart guys, though. But it seems to have more substance.
No. I mean, under John Daly, Or John Daly? Not John Daly.
I didn't realize the mayor of Chicago actually.
No, I mean John.
Or Richard J. Daly.
John Stewart. I'm sorry. I make that habit. I do that. No, like when they originally came on, I think it was a lot spicier than it is now. Now it seems kind of almost, you know, I don't want to say it, but it almost seems kind of rote.
You're easily jaded, Roger.
I don't know, maybe I'm like you know, a dog, you know, amused once and
then that's it.
Yeah.
Timothy finally says it's been scorching in Eugene, Oregon. That's all people can talk about is the heat.
Yes.
93, 98, 101, and 105, or for those who like Celsius, 34, 37, 38, and 41. I've experienced much hotter temperature in my travels, but this Oregon, for crying out loud, any temperature over 80 degrees is hot. That's Texas hot. Not quite Africa hot, but it's Texas hot.
Australia was hot when
I
was
there
in the summer.
Hot.
That was hot.
Yeah, what do you think? I mean, is this, everybody's saying like, oh, see, it's global warming. Now, as we all know, regular temperatures, daily temperatures, have no bearing on global warming.
No, this you is, have to look at
things
it.
Can get really hot and things can get really cold. It's the average temperature of the entire Earth's surface or atmosphere over time. But there are some people still saying, yeah, but we've had a lot more unseasonably hot weather in a lot more places. Is this a sign of the average going?
But you know, but that's since time is, you know, that's ever since official records have been kept for temperature.
Right, which isn't that long.
Yeah, that goes only back, 100 years at most? So, I mean, you know, even geologic surveys have shown hotter, unseasonable temperatures. You know, it's the real key, though, I think, is that you need to kind of look at an overall geologic scale of temperatures and, you know, seeing where you notice. And, you know, there's no question that, human involvement in, you know, breeding and construction and using of fossil fuels has a direct relation on our environment. You know, you can see that directly through smog, amount of ozone, we have Spare the Air Day here in the Bay Area, and that's, you know, to minimize the amount of pollutants in the air that people breathe in. So, you know, and then, of course, you also have things that aren't directly seen right away but do take its effect over time. For example, the whole ozone thing and everything. And
which is growing back, thankfully.
Yeah, and you know, and a lot of people say that coincided with the ban on chlorofluorocarbons,
CFCs, yes. Yeah.
And, you know, other people say that, you know, that and a combination of just natural events. For example, you know, there was a period, I'm not sure when it was recently, but there was a set of solar flares, I guess, maybe a couple of years ago or something. They had effect on temperature as well as a lot of the...
Well, the problem is the climate is insanely complicated.
It is.
And nobody can say for sure why anything happens. I mean, we might be going into an ice age. We might be pushing ourselves into an ice age.
Well, you know,
and no one would be able to tell.
It's funny you say
it's
that.
It's really difficult.
I have a magazine back from the 1981. You know, it wasn't
that doesn't mean nothing bad is happening. You made the good point. It's not just about CO2 and global warming.
Yeah,
it's about our effect and the pollutants.
Yeah,
and what's scary is we don't know what the effect is.
And that's that's why it's kind of funny because, like you said, about the not global warming, but we're going to the next ice age. I have a magazine that used to, when you're in school, get a little kids magazine,
Weekly Reader or something.
So
like
exactly,
that.
Yeah. I think it was a Weekly Reader, and they talked about the possibility of a next ice age and all this evidence that was accumulating, and it's kind of bizarre because, again, like you say, you have to consider a lot of factors, and one thing I think is kind of disturbing is people kind of start becoming kind of a one horse, a cause. It's like cause of this. And it's like, well, you have to really look at it from a multitude of angles,
especially with something like climate. It's very complex.
And it's, I actually believe in the whole kind of concept of, think globally, act locally.
Mm-hmm.
What you do here does affect other people, and maybe, maybe not on the side of the world, but maybe, your neighbors, people in your community, in the city at large. I've always been an advocate of mass transit because, having been here in San Francisco, back when I was a kid and coming back, for college when I was older, traffic has tripled.
Yeah.
I never remembered it that bad. And, one of the things I really hate is sitting in traffic.
Anything you do is going to have an effect.
Yes.
Anything you do. So take people throwing their refuse in the river.
Yeah.
When there was a town of 5 people or 20, a little village of 20 people on a river, everybody could just throw their waste in the river and it'd wash away and no big deal. Once the population starts getting bigger, it's a problem. So waste in general is a problem.
Yes.
And where it goes, whether you're shooting it off in the atmosphere or burying it underground,
yes,
it's a problem that you're going to have to deal with.
And the thing is, what kind of
I think we should shoot it off into space.
Is if they thought of that.
I mean, the
thing is that there was a big worry that it wouldn't make it out and it would eventually come back. You ever watch Futurama?
Yeah.
Remember that one episode where the ball of garbage just
comes
back?
Comes back, yeah.
But one of the things that kind of irritates me is you have all these people, in Gore and a lot of people, that preach about, global sensitivity. The thing is, like, it's not just about, making, like, getting yourself off fossil fuels. I think it's really changing the way you live. Like, there's that new movie that's coming out, What Happened, Who Killed the Electric Car?
Right.
I really think that's looking at it the wrong way. It's like people want to still kind of have their cake and eat it too. They want to be able to drive, whenever they want to, go wherever they want to, whenever they want to, with the minimum of amount of emissions, no gas.
What's wrong with that? I think it's great if we can do it.
We can't. It'd be great, but you can't. I mean, just the laws of physics.
Well, eventually you'll be able to minimize, but you still have to deal with the effects.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like some people have to kind of give up a certain amount of that convenience. I mean, one of the reasons why we have the conditions that we have is because people want so many things.
Until the technology advances.
Until either technology or, I mean, seriously, but, you're kind of holding that out as a future possibility. That's great.
We just don't know when it's going to be.
I mean,
so don't wait around.
Exactly.
For it. The singularity is near, though, Roger.
I mean, people.
And then the problem is going to be the robots.
What if we integrate ourselves with robots and we have robot-human hybrids?
As long as it goes peacefully.
I really believe that, you know, I mean, small things, like, for example, you know,
I, for one, welcome our robot over.
Figure out what you want, you know, when you go to the supermarket, make a one trip. Don't make, like, you know, I'll get this day, I'll come back. Just kind of, you know, kind of minimize the amount.
So volume two, we have the Roger Chang Dive. Volume two will be Roger Chang's plans for the environment.
No, I think it's just plans for living better.
It takes a single person, not a village.
You know, it's kind of interesting because I watch this great show, or not show, news special that NBC or CBS, it's a local news station. They talked about all these people who were very successful, you know, earning up, you know, $80,000, $90,000. And they stopped in their life and they just kind of gave it all up. And they live a very modest, minimalist lifestyle. And they say they're a lot happier than they used to be.
Yeah, happiness doesn't have to do with income.
Exactly. So, you know, simplify.
But it sure doesn't hurt. if my boss is listening. All right, we're going to wrap it up a little earlier because I have to go, but it's pretty close to a regular episode. So thanks, everyone, for listening. I'll see you later.
Hope this audio works better. Bye.